Hi everybody. As we start off today, Happy New Year. Why don't we take a couple minutes to say hi to people, say Happy New Year to people you haven't seen Happy since New last year. Year. Yeah.
That's
true. Wow.
Actually, very true.
So
I haven't seen
Maddie
awesome last year.
I haven't seen you since last year.
Oh my God.
Where have you been since last time?
I've been hiding.
Then Mr. Morgan went back.
All right, we're gonna start it. It's good. No, it's good. It's good. I wanted to have some time for people to say hi. As we're starting off the new year, we're starting with a new sermon series. And one thing we wanted to focus on in this period from January to April is really just to help people to build good routines and habits and rhythms in their lives. I know for many of us, you know, this year's theme is same God, new season. Because for many of us, in different ways, right, there's a new season going on. Maybe, as Mimi mentioned, maybe it's with work, maybe it's with your life stage, maybe it's just some internal stuff that's going on, right? But in some way, shape, or form, I think for many of us, this season has been somewhat new and different. And so one thing we want to do is to help people in this new season, how do we build good new rhythms for where we are? And one thing we really wanted to focus on was to encourage people to engage with God's Word. And so this sermon series is called, Do You See It? Do you see it? Because I think for many of us, sometimes we need some help in being able to see how good God's Word is. And so as we start off today, I want to start off with a short activity. If you could show this picture. I don't know if it works on this screen. But I want to ask you, can you see the hidden number that is in this image? It might not be possible from your screen.
No.
So recently, some of you guys are going to burn your eyes out looking at this picture so hard. But recently, we were watching this movie, and this is a very, very small spoiler. It's a movie called Glass Onion on Netflix.
Oh, no.
And this is a very small, like, inconsequential spoiler. No, it's inconsequential. You know, they remind us, when you were kids, you might have looked at images like this, mm-hmm. where there's like all these repeating things, and if you look at it in a certain way, there's something that pops up 3D, right? It's called a stereogram, I think, a 3D stereogram. And what's interesting about things like this is like the image is already there, you just need some help learning how to see it, right? And so as we go through the sermon series, that's what we want to do, is to say, hey, let's help one another see what is really there in God's Word. How do we see and recognize how good God's Word is? It's kind of what it's like it says in Psalm 119, where the psalmist writes, open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And that's what we're hoping for these next 4 weeks, is that we will be able to see in a fresh way, in a new way, how good God's Word is, and why it's worth it for us to make God's Word a part of the rhythms of our lives in 2023. And so that's the heart behind of what we do. And as we go through this sermon series, we want to see, and we want to be able to ask, you know, do you see how powerful God's Word is? Do you see how necessary it is? Do you see how profitable it is? Do you see how good it is? And then we want to engage with the Word and with one another in that way. And so for this week, for today, our message is titled, Do You See How Powerful It Is? Do you see how powerful the Word of God is? I know for many of us, as we start off this year, you know, the sense of freshness, newness brings with it expectation, right, and hope. But I know also for some of us, we might have been a little discouraged with how 2022 ended. Even for myself, I ended 2022 not in a fun, victorious, encouraging way, but I ended it with all-nighters, trying to finish papers, and I'm still trying to finish And that's not how I expected to end 2022. All right, I want to end on a good note. And I know for some of us, you know, we haven't been able to end on 2022, and it has been not that encouraging. I know for many of us, as we look at 2023, we're already a little anxious. Already a little anxious about how work is going to go. Anxious about how school is going to go. Anxious about how my life is going to go, right? Others of us, you know, even if we're excited, you know, there's a sense of like, I actually don't know what's going to happen and what's in store. And so as we start off, you know, there's this question of, you know, man, what do we need to see about God's word as we start off this year that can encourage us, that can help us posture ourselves better for this upcoming year? And the one thing we're going to see in today's passage is that God's word has the power to change your life. God's word has the power to change your life. We're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And so you can join me in your Bibles or here on the screen. And this is what it says in John chapter 1, 1 through 5. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Please join me as we pray together for this time in the Word. Father, we come to You, and we do thank You. We thank You for the beginning of this new year. Lord, we recognize and grieve and mourn that not everyone who was in 2022 made it to 2023. And so, Lord, we do ask that You would help us to be grateful, to make the most of every moment You've given us. And Lord, we pray even as we head into this year that You would continue to do this work in our hearts. So even today, as we're gathered here, God, open up our eyes, open up our hearts that we might see how good Your word is. That You might open our eyes so we could see the wondrous things about Your word and the things that are in Your word. And we pray that that would set us on a course to get the most out of this year that You've given us, Lord. And so we thank You and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here in this passage, John is talking about the word. And before we jump into it, I just want to give a little bit of a disclaimer. Right? John is talking about, you know, the word is this and the word is that. And one thing that's helpful to understand is that back in the day, back in the day, right, when you said the word, right, or in Greek, ha logos, right, there are people who had different understandings of what that meant, right? So for Greek philosophers, when you said the word or the logic, the logos, they would have been thinking about, oh, like this is the logical order, and this is the logic that holds everything together. The reason our universe works in a understandable, predictable way, right, is because this logos, this logic is holding everything together. Whereas for Jewish people, for Jewish religious people, when they heard halagos, they were probably thinking like, oh, the wisdom, the word of God. And in Proverbs 8, it talks about how God created the word, the world with wisdom. Right? And so people would have different understandings of what you meant if you were, say, to use the word, in a fancy way. It's kind of like how in our day right now, if someone says truth, like you don't exactly know what they're talking about. Like, are you talking about your truth, my truth? Are we talking about like scientific truth? Right? What are we talking about when we say truth? Right? And so when in this passage, when John is using the word, he's using this word that many people have different understandings of. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to redefine it for you. I'm going to show you what the word is really about. It's kind of like the way in Acts 17, if you remember, Paul goes into that city and there's all these bunch of gods. And he's like, oh, you guys think this is the unknown God? I'm going to tell you who this God really is. Right? That's what John is doing here. And so he's going to tell us three things about the word. First is that the word has always existed. Second is that the word created existence. And lastly is that the word impacts existence. And so the first thing here we see about the word is that the word always existed. We see that when it says that the word was at the beginning. In verse 1 it says, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. And when this is here, it's like, for it doesn't make that much sense for us, but back in the day when you said in the beginning, people would have thought about a specific instance in the Bible. It's kind of like if I said, fill in this blank. Once upon a time, right? But there's this famous poem by Edgar Allan Poe where he writes, once upon a midnight dreary, right? So there's a play on words here, right? He's like, oh, you're thinking once upon a time, nice fairy tale. I'm going to contrast that to say, once upon a midnight dreary, right? While I pondered weak and weary. You guys are good. I didn't know if anyone's going to get that, right? And so in a similar way, like when John writes, in the beginning, people are expecting Genesis chapter 1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So when John writes, in the beginning was the word, everyone was like, in the beginning? Oh, not God created heaven and the earth, but in the beginning was the word. And so he's using the prevailing ideas of the Bible to point people back to say, the word, this thing, this mystical thing, this word, was all the way at the beginning of creation. The word was, you know, at the very beginning of creation. And then it continues to say, not only was the word at the beginning of creation, but the word was God. This is where it gets fun and confusing at the same time. Verse 1 and 2, it says, the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And so it's interesting here, right? Because we see the word is with God. There's some distinction between the word and God, because they're with one another, right? We say that, you know, I'm home by myself. We never say I'm home with myself, right? There's some distinction between the word and God. And yet in the very same next sentence, he says, but the word was God, right? Oh, there's something that the word is equated with God. And so here in this, you see that there's distinction and there's also equation. This is where we start to see the shadows and hints of the Trinity, of the triune God, right? In some way, there is this word that was at the very beginning of the creation of the world, and that word was distinct from God, but also equaled and equated with God, right? And so this is where John is giving us hints that we have a triune God. We have a God who is three persons. In some way, they're distinct, right? God the Father is distinct from God the Son, is distinct from the Holy Spirit. And yet at the same time, God the Father is God, and God the Son is God, and God the Holy Spirit is God, right? And so this is where we start to see hints of this triune God. And what John is saying is that the Word always existed, right? The Word was at the very beginning of creation. And at the very beginning of creation, this Word, right, this principle, this wisdom has always been there, and this word is actually God. And so what's interesting here is that the idea is that as the word has always existed at the beginning, that this word is equated with God, and that this is pointing to the Trinity. And so it's kind of like if I said, like, what is truth? God is truth. Right? What is the word? Well, actually, the word is God. That's what he's trying to get across, right? And I think one thing for us as we begin this year, I want to challenge us with is, you know, we have the opportunity to begin this year, to begin it with the word that was at the very beginning of creation, right? As we enter into the beginning of this year, we have the opportunity to start to begin this year with the word that was at the very beginning of creation. You know, I think like in our day, right, especially in our day right now, like, we're so used to things that are temporary, right? Like, our clothes wear out really quickly, trends go by so quickly, even our cars, right, they break down too quickly, right? Believe it or not, you know, I think some of us remember those days where kitchen appliances would last forever, right? They were just built like a tank. And you have those refrigerators and blenders that would work beyond the lifespan of human beings sometimes, right? And so we know that, man, there's something about things that last. There's something about things that have longevity that is valuable. And at the beginning of this year, we have the opportunity to start it off with the word that has been around since the beginning of creation. We have the ability to start off the year with a God who has been always present. And so as confusing as the idea of the Trinity can be, right, I think one challenging thing for us to hear is say, hey, you can start off this year with the triune God who was at the beginning of creation. There's nothing like that. There's nothing that you can start this year with that is as long-lasting or as everlasting as that. And I think that's the challenge for us as we think about this year. There's so many, you know, for myself, there's a new calendar app that I'm going to try. There's a new, you know, other routines that I'm trying to get into. But here, there's the opportunity to start off with something that is everlasting. And I really want to encourage us with that as we think about this new year. The second thing that we see in this passage about the Word is not only that it always existed, but that the Word itself created existence. You know, I think many of us know that words are powerful. Like, in general, words are powerful, right? Proverbs 15:1, I think that this is, many of us have heard this before. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And we know, I think many of us, in our own lives, intuitively, we know that words are powerful. Because even though they're just sound waves, in one sense, we know that actually a lot about how we view ourselves, how we view the world, how we view life has been impacted by the words that have been spoken to us and the words that have been spoken by us. We know that words have power. And in a crazy sense, like, words allow us to create things that weren't there before. Right? If I say, think of a golden retriever, right? For many of us now, in our minds, you can picture a golden retriever, even though you, hopefully, you weren't thinking about a golden retriever a couple minutes ago, right? Suddenly, just by words, we can now think of things that, wait, we weren't thinking about before, right? And there's a way in which, you know, my words can't bring anything into physical existence, but in a sense, our words can bring things into some level of existence. But what John says is that God's word is way more powerful than that. You know, your words can have impact on life, and your words can bring some things to existence, but God's word literally brings things into existence. Everything was made through the word. Right, verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is all tied together with what I said earlier, when in the beginning is supposed to draw you back to Genesis 1. And what is it that we see in Genesis 1? Right? We see that God creates all of existence. And how does he do that? Well, he does it through his word, right? In Genesis 1, 3, and 4, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. He just says it, and it exists. Right? There's some sort of analogy here. The way that I can say something, and then suddenly you're thinking about it, or suddenly that idea is here where it wasn't before. God, when he says things, things happen. They suddenly exist even though they were not there before. The atoms and the photons were not there before. God says, let there be light. But just by his words, he brings things into existence. And we see that pattern for the next 5 days of creation. Right? God says, blank, blank, blank. And then it says, and it was so. Right? God says, let there be animals. God says, let there be the sun and moon and stars. God just speaks and it happens. That's why it says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. So what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. It's a crazy idea to think about. But everything that exists right now, God created just through his word. We're not just talking about atoms. But if you really want to hurt your brain, right? Like, God creates time. God creates space. Right? There's no such thing as time and space apart from God. And all this happens, what? Through just his word. And so we see that the power that our words have, it's not even comparable to the power that God's word has. That's why he can say things like this in Isaiah 55. He says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Right there, hopefully, some of us, hopefully all of us, have people who are trustworthy in our lives. And when they give you their word, when they say something, they're going to make sure that they do their best to fulfill their end of the bargain. They're going to make sure they do their best to try to make good on their word. But in a infinitely higher way, God says, but my word is even stronger than that. When I say something, it's going to happen. Right? When I purpose something, it's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen on my timing. But it's going to happen. That's how sure and powerful my words are. And what I want to impress upon us today is that the Word of God that is powerful enough to bring things into existence, the Word of God that created everything that we see in the universe, the Word of God that is a sure promise. That word, not if it's that powerful, if it's so powerful that it can create existence, then it definitely has the power to change and affect your life. Does that make sense? Like, this is the challenge for us here. It's like, this is the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. The word of God is so powerful that it can create things. It can make sure things happen. It will make sure that whatever he says comes to pass. That word of God has the power to change our lives. And so as we think about, man, what do we need in 2023? Like, how do we need to change our lives? What's going to happen? It's like, the word of God is more powerful than anything else and has the ability to change our lives. I think the hard part is, for many of us, we don't believe that. We don't functionally believe it, right? We might know it, right? It's like, oh yeah, Pastor Sam, I knew God created the world with his word since I was in kindergarten. I don't learn that in Sunday school. But yet, I think in our hearts, we don't really believe that God's word has actual power and relevance in our personal lives, right? That's why it sits neglected in our lives. Not just y'all, but you know, for me too, right? And I think here is the challenge, man. If God's word is really that powerful, that it can bring things into existence, if it can create things, if it really has the power to change my life, then in this year, can you help me to believe that? Can you help me to live as if I actually believe that? And I want to encourage us. I know many of us, we do try to live that. Right? We do try to hold on to that. And then just, you can ask God in a fresh way, help me to know and believe your words are powerful for me. Give me the faith to approach it day by day, to trust that you can work in my life. The last thing we see in this passage, you know, is how does this word change our life? How does this word, can it impact our lives? We see that the word impacts existence. And we see that in two ways. The first is that the word gives life. The word gives life. It says, in him, in the word, was life. You know, I think for many of us, you know, you could be like, oh, you know, what do you mean? Like, everyone has life, right? Everyone's alive. You don't need, like, you know, people who are not Christian, they're alive, right? And they don't need the word of God, and they're alive. And of course, there's one level in which God has already given all people life, right? In Genesis chapter 2, God shows us how it happens. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Yeah, there's a level in which everyone has experienced the breath of God in their life and they have life in them, right? That everyone in just a physical sense, yeah, of course they have life. But when John's talking about how we can have life through the word, he's talking about a little bit different kind of life. He's talking about the life that we see in the famous verses, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, right? He's saying, yeah, of course humans have, you know, biological, physical life, sure. But it's in the word of God that you get eternal life. It's in the word of God that you get this eternal, divine kind of life that is impossible apart from him. This is how, one of the primary ways that the word of God impacts and changes our lives. It's that through the word of God, we have real life. You know, even as I look back on 2022, I think for many of us, and myself, it's like, there are definitely times in this past year where I just existed, right? Like, I'm just like barely trying to make it. Like, we're sleep deprived. We're just trying to survive one day at a time. And yes, I'm physically alive, but am I like alive? Like, no, I'm just a zombie walking around, right? I think even for many of us, if you look back on 2022, there are those swaths of time where you don't even know what happened. You were just almost like a robot going to work, going to school, whatever. You just went through your thing. I don't know if we would say, look back and say, oh yeah, I was experiencing real life. And yet here, this is what the passage says. Like, no, but the word of God has the power to give you real life, connect you to eternal kind of life. Not only that, but we see that the word illuminates our lives. The word not only gives life, but the word also illuminates our lives. It said, the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word of God also illuminates and shows the reality of what's going on. What's going on? John 3:21 puts it like this. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. What it's showing us here is that, like, when you step into the light, you see what's actually going on. Whether the things that are going on are bad things, wicked things that are being exposed, or whether it's the things that are going on are things from God, that are good things that are being carried out. Recently, I think some of you know, but many of you may not know, we had a pretty bad leaking problem with our sink. It was so bad that, like, just when you turn the water on, the pipe underneath and the discarded garbage disposal, it would leak. And when you turn on the garbage disposal, it would flood. Like, it would flood. And so everything under the sink in that cabinet was wet. Pretty much, we had to throw a lot of things out. And the scarier part was not just the things that we had to throw out, because those were like garbage bags and stuff. It didn't really matter. But then it's like the cabinets themselves, the wood that's under there. Is there rot? Is there mold? What's going on? Right? But there's a small cutout on the bottom of our cabinet where I can't even see inside it. It's too dark. And we know that's the worst place where, like, mold could get in there. It could be so, right? So what do I need to do? I need to turn on my flashlight, my phone, so I can see what's going on. And I point it in there and take pictures with the flash on so I can see the reality of what's happening, right? And that's what John is saying, is that the same way that we need light to illuminate the problems that are going on in kitchen sinks and cabinets, is that you need light to illuminate what is actually happening in your life. And I think a lot of us know this, right? This is why we do personality tests, to illuminate what's going on inside of our life. This is why we value therapy, so we can unpackage the things that are going on inside, so that we can be illuminated and exposed, right? But here the challenge is, John is saying, the Word is like that, but only so much greater. Because the Word exposes and illuminates what's going on in your life beyond what makes you comfortable. And this is the objective mirror that shows you what's really going on. And so it says, this light illuminates our lives. This is the light that shines into the world. And as we go through 2023, I think this is the kind of illumination we really need in our lives. You know, the therapy, personality tests, those are all beneficial. I use those things personally, right? I'm not knocking those things, right? But it's like, there's a level in which we need illumination that is beyond that. Because all that illumination that we have through things like talking to friends and family, therapy, personality tests, etc., that's still on a very human level. But here in the Bible, here in the Word of God illuminates from an objective standpoint of God. And so this is the way that the Word changes our lives. It actually helps us to see what's really going on in our lives and in the world. And it also gives us an eternal kind of life. You know, I think at the beginning of the year, it's like, isn't that what we want, right? Wouldn't it be nice to go through this entire year and in December 31st, 2023, we're like, you know what, man? We got to experience an eternal kind of life this year. You know, or man, like, wow, like, my life has been so much more illuminated. I know what's going on, not only in my own life, but in what's going on around me, because this Word of God has illuminated it. And that's what John is saying here, is that, man, the Word, not only is it created creation out there, but it has the power to change our lives in a very personal way by giving us life and light. We share all of this to say, you know, how do we access the Word of God? The Word of God to us is captured best in the Bible, right? And this is why, you know, I want to encourage us. And, you know, oftentimes it can feel like we're beating a dead horse, because almost every other week, what is the life application? It's to go into the Word, right? But hopefully as we see this, we're like, man, this is why we want to go to the Word. Why? Because the power of God, because the life and the light, all of these things are best available to us in the Word of God, in the actual Bible that has been recorded for us. That's why it's good. There's no other resource like it that gives us access to God Himself like the Bible. That's why we want to encourage us, hey, as we start off this year, there's, of course, many good habits that I would want you to have. I think if you've been along me long enough, you know that I care about your physical health and your financial health and your emotional health and your relational health. Like, those are the things I pray for y'all. Those are the things I desire for y'all and myself. But more than anything, I'm like, man, we need this Word of God. We need the Bible because this is where we find life and light. And this is where the powerful Word that creates existence can change our hearts. As John continues in his passage, we see that this Word, this eternal Word, this Word that created existence, this Word that gives life and light, is not just a concept out there, right? But we see that the Word, ultimately, we see it in Jesus. Jesus himself is the Word. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? And this is where it becomes mind-blowing for people who weren't Christian, who weren't aware of what's going on. Because John's like, you know this great thing that I was just talking about this whole time? It's not just a concept. It's not just a principle, right? But it's an actual person that came to us, Jesus Christ. It's like when we say, the truth is not just out there. It's not just scientific truth. It's not just your truth, my truth. It's like, the truth is a person. Right? Jesus says, I am the truth. Right? He is actually the truth that we need to know. And in the same way, he is the Word that we need. And what's so mind-boggling is that this Word, this eternal Word, this Word that is so powerful, the way that he gives life to us, the way that he gives light to us, is that he does it through his life and through his death. We see that this, you know, think about that. Like, Jesus is the Word that was so powerful enough to create existence, yet he lays his life down so that you can have true life. He was the Word that could illuminate everything into people's lives, but he was willing to be rejected so that people could see the reality of the state of their hearts. This is Jesus who demonstrates his power, but also his goodness and his love through his life. And the best way to encounter Jesus, the best way, the primary way that we get to encounter Jesus is where? Is in the Bible, is in the Word. So that's why the one thing for today is God's Word has the power to change your life. How can we respond? One is just to confess your need for the Word. To confess your need for the Word. You know, I think when we look at this, we could say, you know what? Like, in a very obvious way, you know, it's not like I've been around since the beginning of creation. It's not like I have the power to create. And in that sense, of course I need God. But I think for many of us, I think it would help us to say, man, I really need the power of God's Word in my life. We can say that genuinely when we realize that we are unable to do things by ourselves, that we have a limitation of our own. You know, I love that many of us here are strong, independent people who get things done, are sufficient in many ways. But I think it's only when we really get to the end of ourselves that we say, you know what, this powerful Word, I need it in my life. I want to encourage us, man, even as we start off this year, it's okay to start it off by confessing our weaknesses. It's good to start off this year by confessing our need. I want to encourage us, how do we respond to this? One way you can do that is by confessing your need for God's Word in your life. You don't have all the wisdom you need in your own brain. You don't have all the willpower and energy that you need in your own heart. We need it. We need help. And I want to encourage you to confess your need for the Word in response to this passage. Second thing is to commit to meeting God in his Word this year. Like I said, this is the heart of this sermon series, but it's also my heart for you. You know, one thing I've been encouraged by this past, basically a week before Christmas, some of us were doing a Bible app reading plan together. That's really encouraging, just to be able to read through and prepare together. And in committing to meeting God in his Word this year, you know, you can do it in many ways, you know, but I do want to encourage, you know, for some of us, maybe you want to do that by committing to read through the Bible in a year so you can let God's Word illuminate your life from all the different books of the Bible to illuminate your life from all different angles. And for those who want to do that, just practically speaking, I'm going to send out two Bible reading plans. One, where you read the whole Bible in a year. I think it's one Old Testament passage and then a New Testament passage every day. And another one is where you commit to reading the Bible in 2 years. I think many of us, there is no requirement to read the Bible in a year. I think so many of us have tried to burn ourselves out by doing that. You may have been there, you know what I'm saying? Like four different passages every day, you know, you feel so guilty when you haven't done it. There's no requirement where you have to read the Bible in a whole year. I'm going to be doing the two-year plan for that. But even if it's not the whole Bible, even if it's not, that's fine. But commit to meeting God in His Word this year on a regular basis. I want to encourage you. And you don't have to do the Bible plans that I send out. You can pick any plan. You can go through any way. But I want us to be challenged. Say, man, God, Your Word is so powerful. I need it. Help me. I want to commit to that. Not just nice feelings about it, but I want to commit to that. Lastly, I want to challenge us to consider how you will use your words this year. God's word is powerful. God's word brings life. God's word brings illumination. And there's a challenge for us to say, if we are really people of God, then the way we use our words should reflect something of God. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the word of the wise brings healing." And I want to encourage us, man, as you think about this year, not just in your relationship with the Bible, but if you think about your relationship with God's word in a bigger way, how will your words reflect who God is? I think it's very believable, but I used to be a jerk growing up. Used to be. And I was very good at sword thrusts with my words. I think I've shared this before. I have a knack of picking out people's insecurities and being able to like sword thrust in their weak, vulnerable points, right? But I think there was a real challenge when I was started growing in the faith. Just man, like, no, God says we are supposed to use our words to build up. And so I try to say, you know what, that same ability for some reason that I have of seeing people's insecurities, how can I then use my words to build up? How can I use my words to bring encouragement and healing? And that's not just a me thing, right? But all of us, right? You can use words in ways that reflects God's good, powerful, loving, wise heart. And I think for, you know, again, in our day and age, it's easy to be loose with our words. You can post what you want. You can tweet what you want. You can text what you want. Say what you want. People very loose with our words. But I don't think the people of God should be like that. The way we use our words should reflect how God uses His word. It's the challenge for us is not only should we confess our need for the Lord, not only should we commit to meeting Him in His word, but we should also consider how we will use our words to reflect His powerful and good word for us. And so with that, I'm going to encourage us to bow our heads and close our eyes as we head into a time of response. I know for many of us, as we start this year, like I mentioned earlier, we might already be feeling tired. We might already be feeling frustrated. But I want to encourage you. You know that there is such great power outside of yourself that is in God's Word. I know some of us have felt maybe even more frustrated because you've been giving it your best in 2022 and it seems like even that has failed. But I want to say, you know what? Like, there is power in God's word that is available for you. Power not only to change your life, but even to change the life of others. And God graciously has given us access to that power through the Bible. And God has this power not just in a, you know, crazy strong man way, but in a way that a powerful father can make such a big difference in the life of their children. And I want to encourage you, man, as you walk into 2023, God's power is not just there, but God's power is for you so that you might see how good He is and you might worship Him. Even if for those of us who are excited about the new year, man, this is what we really need. The firepower that we need even to make the most of this year is what is available to us in the Word of God. And so I just want to give us a couple minutes as we head into our time of response. Maybe for some of us, we just need to ask God to give us faith Help me to believe that your word is actually powerful, that your word has more impact in my life, that your word can change my life way more than those inspirational speakers on YouTube. Way more than the podcasts that can help me think a different way. Way more than those things. God, help me to believe that your word has the power to change my life. And for others of us, maybe you're not even there. Maybe you just need to spend the next couple moments saying, God, I'm so tired and I need your power. Or help me to see my need for your power. Wherever you find yourself, let's just take the next couple moments responding to God, bringing our hearts to Him in prayer and confessing the ways that we need Him to work in our lives. Let's do that for the next couple minutes together.